For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, welcome to Moms Talk Autism. We are excited today because we have just another wonderful guest with us today. We are going to be touching on a few things, one being PCDH19. So stick around and let's have a discussion.
When you become a mom, you never imagine your child getting an autism diagnosis. It feels like your dreams have shattered, like a framed photograph falling off your mantle, exploding into a thousand pieces. But instead of trying to glue those pieces back together, this community of moms is here to help you build a new dream, a better one. So join in the conversation as us moms talk autism.
Talk Autism is supported by Action Behavior Centers. ABC's atmosphere is bright, joyful, and welcoming, a place where children can learn, grow, and participate in child-led, play-based ABA therapy with trained professionals. ABC believes in the importance of helping your child learn valuable life skills that can benefit the whole family. With locations in Arizona, Texas, Colorado, Illinois, Minnesota, and North Carolina, there are immediate openings. Visit actionbehavior.com/momstalkautism to learn more.
All right, guys. So today I have Miss Natasha K. Dillman on the podcast because that's how she logged in today. She's very fancy.
I didn't do anything different. It's just my name isn't Natasha. It's Tosh.
Thanks. I know. I was like, oh, we have her alter ego on the podcast today.
Definitely.
This is Shannon, and we are joined today by Joni Brown. Joni, you want to say hi?
Hello.
We're going to call her Joni B.
And Joni is here today because we're going to do a community story, but there's some other things that we're also going to dive into. And one thing that we have not talked about on the podcast that needs to be discussed is PCDH19. And so Joni has a sweet, sweet daughter and a wonderful husband. So Joni, why don't you start out, just tell us a little bit about your sweet family.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, so Allie is 20. She is, if she was, I don't know, I guess diagnosed and tested today, she'd be an autism level 2. But back in the day, because she's 20 today, so back in the day, she was an Asperger's diagnosis first. So first it was Asperger's, and then it was PCDH19 epilepsy, which came at 16 months. And then I have Eric is my husband. excuse me. And then Bingham is 10 and he is,
typical. Cutest name ever.
Can we, like, with that name?
Bingham? Cannot. It's so cute.
Seriously. That is the I said that on the Zoom. It is the best name.
Yeah. It's adorable. And you call him Bing. And I think that's just adorable.
We do.
I don't know.
Yeah. And And I couldn't have two more opposite kids. I mean, one male, female, and then two, you know, this broken brain with seizures that she was born with. It's a genetic mutation, horrible mutation. And then Bingham has just a neurotypical brain and he's gifted and talented and he's awesome and there's no issues there. So I just have two kids and my husband, and we had our 25th wedding anniversary last Thursday. So.
Yay! Congrats. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So that's us in a nutshell, and a cat and a dog. So that's it.
And a cat and a dog. And a cat and a dog. We thought the kids weren't crazy enough, so we added some animals.
We did.
Yeah.
We always have to have a little bit of a circus.
Yeah.
Okay. Joni, I just have to say, so Allie turned 20 today. Happy birthday, Allie.
Oh, no, not today. Yes.
Oh, gosh.
That's okay. Allie's 20. Okay. Yeah,
she's just 20. Yeah. Okay.
In August. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I read that wrong. I thought you were saying she turned 20 today. Yep. Okay, so she was diagnosed with the PCDH19 at
16 months.
16 months. Okay. Okay. So that came.
No, actually, sorry. She had her first seizure at 16 months.
First seizure.
Yeah. Okay. And then PCDH19 epilepsy, the diagnosis came a decade later, which was really irritating and awful because we didn't know what was wrong with her broken brain. So.
Yeah. So like to talk up on that a little bit, because I'm sure there's lots of people going, what is PCDH19?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So autism, we all know what autism is if you're in this podcast. So PCDH19 is a genetic mutation that she was born with. Some males get that mutation and some are the carriers. Some don't have any symptoms. But a lot of them are girls, and I don't think they know why. You'd have to talk to the scientists about that. But PCDH19 epilepsy is horrible. It's no fun to talk about. It's no fun to witness seizures. She has cluster seizures. So what that means is that she'll have a seizure every hour for 12 hours. So she'll have maybe an absent and then a partial complex, and then she'll have tonic clonics, which are the big ones. They used to be called grand mal. They're called tonic clonics.
Tonic clonics. Okay.
So that's, in a nutshell, that's what PCDH19 epilepsy is. And then there's comorbidities with that. So then there's autism with that. There's OCD, there's ID, there's DD. It's OCD. So she has a lot of comorbidities under that PCDH19 umbrella.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So what was the beginning of childhood like for her?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Like normal pregnancy.
Totally, Tosh. Like, I mean, the first year, like, I don't know, maybe 9 months. I mean, it was amazing. It was our only child, our firstborn, first baby. We were new. I think I was 30. And she potty trained okay. Like she was happy. She was spirited. High energy, high spirited.
Okay. Okay.
And then I went to the pediatrician, and doesn't a mom always know? I'm like, huh?
Something feels, different.
Yeah. I went to the pediatrician's office and I'm like, hey, she rocked so hard in her high chair during lunch, as I was preparing her meal on the stove, she rocked back and she broke her plastic chair. It wasn't a wood high chair. It was a plastic chair. I probably got it at Target or Walmart, whatever. I'm like, you know, that's just so bizarre. And she goes, oh, she's just a spirited child. That's fine. And she blew it off at 9 months. Nothing was on the radar back then. I mean, what year is that? 2003?
So yeah, 9 months, that's pretty intense.
She was pretty intense.
Pretty strong for us.
And I didn't know any better. I really wasn't around babies a lot. I mean, right. I'm the baby of our family. So we just didn't know. We were just playing with other kids. And then 16 months old is when we knew her brain was broken. And dinner time was like getting dark. It was in Minnesota. And December in Minnesota, it gets dark really quick. So I was making probably dinner. It was like kitchen and living room and the Christmas tree. I was making dinner and I just kind of looked out over at her, and she's under the Christmas tree and she's looking straight up. And she was just very concentrated. Like she was so still and concentrated. And that wasn't Allie. That was like, why is Allie being so still? Because a 16-month-old, you know, is never still. So I kind of went over and I just kind of, I remember sitting down and just kind of, you know, cradling her and looking at her, and I'm on the floor and my legs are crossed and she starts gasping for air under the Christmas tree, like looking up. And then I realized she wasn't, her eyeballs were not on the Christmas tree. They were not there. I mean, they were just
like what happens when somebody has seizure.
I literally thought she was dying. Like it was, I mean, it's the most horrible thing I've ever had. I probably have post-traumatic from it. So I screened upstairs. Eric was working at home. He's a computer programmer, so he works on the computer a lot. So I just screamed. He was upstairs in the office and he just came down. I don't remember a lot after that. That's why I started writing things down, because I would just forget. And the paramedics came. Next thing I knew, the paramedics were there, and he's like, they were so calm. And they're like, ma'am, you know, she probably had a febrile seizure. And it was just like, oh, okay. But yeah, sick. You know, like, she's not sick.
Yeah.
So I don't remember a lot after that. And then another one. And so then the clusters started. So that's that PCDH19 clustering, which I didn't know about at the time. I didn't know anything at the time. I was not a medical needs mom at that time. So that was the first day that I was a medical needs mom. And from there on, it was just like, oh my gosh, she has epilepsy. And she was in the hospital for a week. And I just, the first 24 hours, it was horrific. They couldn't control the seizures. So we got airlifted in a helicopter, me and her. She was unconscious because she was seizing so much. And we went to Children's Minneapolis. And my husband took the hour drive down. So he packed some things, and we didn't know we were going to stay that many nights. And it was horrible. I mean, it was definitely a dark time in our lives where we didn't know if she was going to live or die. Because we didn't know what seizures, we didn't know what epilepsy was. We didn't know what seizures were. It was like, okay, our child's brain is broken. It's broken. Like, how do you fix a brain? Like, give me a broken bone and we can fix a broken bone, but we can't fix a brain.
Yes. Yeah. So like at this point, like you said, the PCDH19, even knowing or having a name, didn't come till a decade later. So at this point, they're just tagging it as, okay, she has just really bad epilepsy, and here you are. She's stable now.
Correct.
Go on home.
Exactly. And exactly. It was just like, okay, here's a threefold. Remember those trifold brochures that they used to print?
Yeah.
They gave me an epilepsy brochure, and I remember sitting on the back deck, and I'm just like, oh my God, epilepsy, like. What? This is
real. Well, because at that moment you go, I can't ever leave her side again. She's 16 months old. I can't ever leave her side again because, you know,
that tiny sweet body.
Just, and so yeah, little. You look over at her at under a Christmas tree, and you think she's just like, it's like, you didn't think anything was going on until you know, like, I mean, so everything just
switched.
I mean, completely switched for you guys.
I mean, life changed so quickly. And I didn't realize the depth of it at the time. Like, I didn't realize it. Eric and I are workers. Like, we are worker bees. Like, we love our careers. We love to work. We wanted to do everything right. We wanted it all. We wanted the mortgage, the house, everything. Right. And we were working full time. And so,
yeah. What were you doing at that time?
It was really fun. I loved my job. I was 9 to 5 out of the home. I was a marketing director for a new home builder, brand new homes. So fun, you guys. Got to see the new houses, did, you know, a lot of open houses, and it was so fun.
Your creative outlet.
It was great. And Eric, an at-home computer programmer. I mean,
couldn't be any better. And you guys were at that point in Minnesota. So were you around other family members, or did you
deep
have other family
in
there?
Minnesota. Yeah. Yeah. Deep roots in Minnesota.
Right. You can still hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in Colorado now. Colorado.
You go.
I'm happy to be here.
Oh my gosh. Sorry, I'm kind of wanting to go down the road because this is a big thing. This is not just a, you know, we get these diagnoses of autism, you know, and the sub-diagnoses that come with it, but to have this come first, kind of, right? And then from there, how did it, you know, that started the train, obviously. okay, so are you now like, I can't work anymore. I'm home. We're going to doctor's appointments. When did the autism and all that kind of come into play? What did life look like?
Yeah. I tried to hold a job, you guys. I tried, but those mommy strings would, I mean, if she would have a seizure or breakthrough seizures from the medications that she was on, and her little body was adjusting to all these medications. And I'm like, the side effects from medications were horrible. And so we tried to have a quote normal family life. Mm-hmm. Like we tried that. I tried to balance that. Right. But it was hard. I mean, it was hard. We had an in-house daycare that we dropped her off at, and they were very supportive, and it was just a neighborhood daycare. And Eric was home a lot, so he got more of the brunt of the daddy at home portion during that time.
Right.
What was your question about autism? Was it?
So just like, yes, when did the, so you obviously are work isn't working out. When she's going to an in-home daycare, which they probably have had no idea. They've probably never had a child who's had epilepsy, seizure issues. Did the autism diagnosis come shortly after that? Was that the catalyst to say, like, here's more stuff. Okay. That rocking in the high chair at night.
Yes.
Well, okay. Now you're like kind of seeing things.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
So now my investigation mode was on, right? My mommy investigation.
Yes, right, right.
So I dove into the medical field, and I just was reading about epilepsy. And then it's like, autism, gosh, do I even want to say that word? Or is it the meds? Is it the anti-seizure meds that are giving her crazy town? Like
these side effects, behaviors.
I mean, we would sign her up for a typical dance class. Okay. So like she wanted to twirl and spin all day long. Right. So let's sign her up for a dance class and put on the pretty tutus and the ballet. Like we did it all. She absolutely loved it, you guys. But the teacher did not appreciate that. She was, supportive for as long as she could, but she knew that this girl is not really doing what's supposed to be told. So she gave me one of those tri-fold binders or brochures. And it said adaptive in it, adaptive dance. And I'm like, adaptive? What's this? therapeutic, therapeutic rec, adaptive, like Special Olympics. Like, okay, we're going to go down that road. And she fit right in. She was great.
Yeah.
So, going back to the autism diagnosis, when I couldn't say the word autism, but I kind of knew, I'm like, okay, we need to get her tested. Mm-hmm. Eric was not on board. Okay. He was just not on board. But then I'm like,
just like, nope, not like, yes.
So, but when she was running from the school, from kindergarten class, I mean, she's age 5, so she is not standing still at all. She is running. Eloping is what they call it. So there's a new vocabulary word that I didn't know about. Mm-hmm. The principal called us in and she's like, you know what? She's like, we need to get something going for her in, special education. We need to draft an IEP. I'm like, hold on, what is all this?
Again, just like another whirlwind of things. And you're like,
because she was bullying another student today. And I'm like, bullying? Okay, well, she's 5. She doesn't know what that means. Well, that is, in our school, we have zero bullying policy. So that's, that could be expulsion or suspension. I'm like, a kindergartner can be suspended? What? Yeah. So we're just like, what? So then I was like, okay. We need to get her diagnosed. Like we need protection here.
Yeah.
So the school started their own testing, but we went on our own. I mean, we had great insurance, right? So we got her tested 5 days in a little basement office. They this psychiatrist. I don't know. It's in the paperwork. She tested her and gave me her gave us her findings. Eric and I her findings that she has Asperger's diagnosis, and this is why. Okay, you know, we're looking at each other. We're like, okay, thanks. You know, like, okay, we kind of know from here. Yeah. So she goes in her. The doctor goes in her. Filing cabinet and pulls out some paper and resources. Here you go. And here's some more paper on autism. And
here's more paperwork.
It's like, thanks. You know, this was before Facebook support groups, which I love Facebook support groups.
Yeah.
So we got our autism diagnosis. She's protected. She has an IEP in place. She's rocking life. I get my little respite from, you know, public at schools. I send her to public education, and I think, you know, life is pretty good. You know, elementary school, eloping, you know, that was a thing. But she was protected. She had an IEP, and we had an IEP meetings, and I got to know those real quick. And it was great. It was like, oh, you guys are going to help me now. Like I didn't feel alone anymore. So. The diagnosis, I think, definitely helped us get the structure and the training and the therapies she needed. And then our insurance paid for eventually ABA therapy. So that was a really good therapy for her.
And still all the while, seizures, are we like at school? Did she have, I mean, was the medication you guys were kind of, that was kind of,
yeah,
working out what they weren't.
Yeah.
As.
So the medication changes are awful. So any epilepsy mom and dad, no, they cringe. If there's a medication change, it's like you are batting down the hatches. You don't leave. You do it slowly. You tighter up slowly. So phenobarbital was the one med that the doctors, the neurologists, did not want her on, but it stopped her seizures. So that's what worked. So then we went on Depakote. We went through Keppra. And then they called it like the Depakote rage, the Keppra rage. So then there was side effects, right? So then it's like, this is not our alley. This is not who she is. Like the medications were up and down. And she had good months without any seizures. I think her record was 92 days seizure free. That's the depressing part of it, right? Like that's the seizures.
Yeah.
Like that's what I get stuck on, is that I can't fix her brain. And that's what really makes me mad, is I can't fix that, because I'm always trying to fix something, right?
Yeah. We're fixers.
Yeah. We're fixers. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I feel like I'm just like,
I can imagine, because just seeing her go through that and feeling the helplessness that comes with that, right? And I think, you know, Gracie has had one seizure, and her neurologist basically was like, everybody gets one free, right? Which is kind of like the paramedic to you is like, well, this happens. Sometimes healthy people have a seizure, right? So the neurologist was, everybody gets one free. And I, what? What do you mean everybody gets one free? Like, what? You know? And she's not had another one since. But just that feeling of just having no control over the situation and not being able to do anything. And then the things that you can do, i.e. doctors and medications, knowing going in, like, these are big drugs I'm putting in her little body, and we have no idea what is going to come from that. And you guys, too, we have not touched on this yet, but Joni wrote a book. We're going to link it in the show notes.
And we're going to
get into it because there were a couple things that you had said that I like ear tagged, like all these places in the book, because I got a little emotional reading your book. So I have like, I'm a page folder. I know some people absolutely hate page folders. It's me, guys. I'm the problem. It's me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the one part that really, really got me in your book, was, you said, in a small break room on a wobbly round laminate table, we talked about the sense of loss we were both feeling. And this is when she was in, you know, the PICU. "She's my little buddy," he told me. His eyes welled to the brim as he spoke. "We grieved in that tiny room for the loss of the child that she was supposed to be." And I'm like getting, like, I'm getting super emotional even just reading that. Because that is on, I think everyone who listens to the podcast can relate to that. Okay. But yes, this is on another huge level. Like, as difficult as autism can be, I have never had to be in that position that you were in that hospital. And so I just want to commend your vulnerability and your honesty in this book. And so maybe we can talk a tiny, there's more that makes me cry that we can all cry about together. Maybe you can kind of talk a little bit now about how you started writing the book and how it was sort of to help you through all of that.
Thanks for going there. It was my therapy, guys. I mean, I've done talk therapy. I have talked to lots of psychologists and marriage counselors and reading books. I would check out some books, and then later podcasts, which is terrific. But the therapy that really helped me was journaling. And my husband's a computer programmer, so I started a blog, just a personal blog, and that really organized me. That was cool. And I got my little stories out, and I'm like, oh, today we had a really crappy day. I'm just going to write it. And so really it was kind of just a personal therapy session for me every time I wrote and I wrote and I wrote. And I call it, and then the book came years later, like 2018, I wrote this book and I threw up in my, like, not really threw up, but not literally, but I threw up on the keyboard. So in 2018, I was like, it's going to go in a manuscript. I don't know where it's going to go from that. It's going to go all in a manuscript. So I 2018, I really got it in that computer. I got it in that Google Doc and I got it in that manuscript. And then it sat there for a while and it felt good. It felt great to to write it. Didn't read it back much, didn't have to. So that was my outlet. That was my personal outlet. I mean, if she was seizing, if she was having a bad day of clustering, I would write in my little, my little dark room, next to her room and on my little laptop, and in the middle of the night, I would just write. And for me, that was my outlet. I didn't have a job then. She is my full-time job.
And that's just it, Joni's, like Shannon said earlier, you know, the autism is hard. You know, we all know that. Anybody listening here knows the autism part of it, but the extent to what you, like you said, being in a room and going days, you know, without leaving your house and being by her side. And a lot of us can't understand that, you know, gravity, that we, that's huge, huge.
And then I think too, you know, about, I mean, obviously you're physically exhausted, right? Like, Gracie had one seizure ever and I didn't sleep for like a week and a half.
Exactly. Yes. How do you go to bed? That's what I'm.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm just never going to sleep again. It's totally fine.
How do you do anything? How do you go to the bathroom? How do you take a shower? How do you do anything? I would be in constant.
Yeah.
And physical.
What does that
but like
feel?
The emotional exhaustion of it all, I can imagine, would even outweigh all of the physical.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's after the fact. So you're in fight mode.
Yeah,
for those 3 days, I'm recovering mentally for when she's out living her life and she's going to school and she doesn't have seizures. So every day there's not a seizure day, it's a great day, right? But I have to say, it's not all doom and gloom. For the first 7 years, I have to say, I cried so much, you guys. In 7 years, the 7 years, I cried so much. I would cry in the pantry. I would not, I wouldn't cry to a lot of people. I cried in my pantry. I cried in my pillow. Mm-hmm. I cried for her. I mm-hmm. cried that she is not going to go to college. She cannot drive. She cannot pick out that car. She cannot do a lot of things, right? So I cried for her. But after the seventh year, I don't know what it was. Maybe it's my hormones, whatever. Because we blame everything on hormones now. So. Mm-hmm. but I don't know. I just was looking at her and I was looking at her life. And I'm like, oh, she's happy. Allie's happy, you guys. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
And so that perspective, that little shift in my perspective gave me the time for my therapy, for my own mm-hmm. growth and for my like, oh, wait a minute. We're going to mm-hmm. do this. We are going to sign her up for all that we can. We are going to be so active in this therapeutic rec. We are going to be so active with Special Olympics. She's happy. Like, oh my gosh, I am so lucky to have a happy girl that's not in pain. Mm-hmm. It could be so mm-hmm. much worse. So I guess that's kind of when I started really living not in the ho-hum and the sadness.
You made the choice.
Yeah. Yes.
The choice to live in the joy.
Yeah. Yes. And I didn't know that at the time. I just, looking back, I'm like, oh, I'm glad I did that. Looking back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was your time to, okay, I'm going to deal with these emotions that are, and she's happy and we're happy mm-hmm. and.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Write us and say, should I move to this area, whether it be one of the areas that we live in or, an area that's well known for having, autism specialists, hospitals, et cetera. People move for things.
Yes.
Joni B.
Yes.
People move, right? Yeah. You moved for things.
We are
right?
Medical refugees. Yes.
Medical refugees.
Oh, man. That's another t-shirt.
Okay. Right there. Yeah. That's a little tagline. Tell us about that because that is huge. That's uprooting. It was, and
So Eric and I, our motto is, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's about her. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's, mm-hmm. and some parents, may argue that, but mm-hmm. we're just like, okay.
It's what works for you. So
what do we need for Allie right now? So deep roots in Minnesota. How old, 2014 is when we moved to Colorado. So a decade ago,
Colorado. And both y'all born and raised in Minnesota, like deep roots. Yeah. I wish I could hear Eric. I wish Eric could come on and talk because I would be just loving
it. Yeah.
It's like some Fargo business or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't miss. Okay. So we moved in 2014 from Minnesota because of Charlotte's Web. Okay. So Paige and Charlotte Figge were highlighted on this documentary called Weed on CNN. Mm-hmm. Dr. Sanjay Gupta opened up this world of seizure medication that was from a plant. It was mm-hmm. derived from Mother Earth, it grew. Mm-hmm. And so they took it and we saw this documentary and were like, a cure for seizures? Like, they, you know, people are getting cured from or having less seizures, right? Even one less seizure, you guys. I'm like, well, what do we do?
Yeah.
Even one less seizure. So we're like, okay, this is, I mean, we like Colorado. We don't like Minnesota winters. We love my family. But we're going to do this. We're going to move for her. In 2013, it became legal to have medical marijuana in Colorado, in the state of Colorado. And I'm emphasizing the rad in Colorado because it's rad.
It is rad.
And yeah, we did it, you guys. We did it. And it was exciting. It was like, oh my gosh, we have hope. We know so we met a bunch of people here. And oh my gosh, this community was amazing. Like, we all spoke the same language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So there was already that community there. There was a community already set up in that area that a lot of people were moving there for.
Yeah.
That they had kiddos with seizures and they were going medicinal route, but
it was great.
What did that look like for you guys? Because were your doctors like,
yeah. So we found two doctors. Yeah. We found two doctors in Colorado and they're like, yeah, try it. And here's our signatures. So you needed two signatures at the time for pediatric medical marijuana. We're like, what do we have to do? You know, whatever we have to do, we're going to join a Facebook support group from medical refugees. And so all the moms and dads are on there like crazy. And this is what you do. This is who you see. This is what you do. This is the tinctures. These are the oils. This is where you go and get it. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, we're doing this. We're full head on. So we bought a house here and it's been great.
What was that? Is at that point when they knew what her mutation was, that it was the PCDH19, or was that
a year after we got here?
Okay.
We got that diagnosis and let me touch on that a little bit.
That's another spot in the book that I folded.
Sorry.
That is huge. I mean, fishing in different ponds and throwing your net wide. Like, why is she having seizures? Like, you don't just have, like, what is the reason, you guys? Like, we're all moms. We need to know this stuff. Why?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was just going down that rabbit hole again, pediatric epilepsy, putting in keywords in the Google. Mm-hmm. Late at night, I mean, I'm in my bed, Eric's snoring next to me, Allie's being monitored. Allie has the SAMI monitor, seizure activity monitor.
Yes. And she touches on that in the book, you guys. So that will be in the book in the show notes.
I'm watching her on the monitor as I do every night to make sure she's safe. And I'm Googling and I came across PCDH19 epilepsy. I'm like, what? So I clicked on that and like the website and the alliance. It was the PCDH19 alliance. So it's like, this is what this is. This is. And something on there really jumped out. It wasn't just seizures. It was seizure clusters. Okay. Mm-hmm. Check. Mm-hmm. It was some of these girls like to swim a lot. And Allie was a fish. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? This is crazy. This is crazy. Like, wait a minute. So I dug a little deeper. I went into Facebook and love it or hate it. I love the support groups. I love that there's real dads, there's real moms on there. I messaged like really super late at night. I mean, it was like probably midnight. And I messaged the admins of PCDH19 Alliance, you guys. And I'm like, hey, my girl, she has these cluster seizures, blah, 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 blah. He emailed me right back. He's like, it sounds like she has PCDH19 Alliance. Did you get a panel done for her, an epilepsy gene panel? I'm like, what is that?
Tell me more.
And then I got on the Google. I'm like PCD, or I got on the Google and I put in epilepsy gene panel. Like, what is this?
No, because they've never done this
in
on
10
her.
Years. Are you freaking kidding me? So I was pissed about that.
This is I'm not laughing at that way, but this is why you have, like you talk about in here, you have to be your child's super, super advocate because
no one else is going to do it.
No one else is going to do it. Not even the doctors. And I know that sounds horrible, but like, you know, they do to a degree, but yeah. Anyways, totally. Carry on.
Oh yeah. You're absolutely right. So yeah, I'm like, oh my gosh, I was up all night, you guys. And I just collapsed. I'm just like, okay, I think I diagnosed my daughter. and so the next morning I'm like, Eric, I got to do this. Everybody just leave me alone. I got to call Children's Hospital. So, they ordered the blood test. It was a blood draw. Oh my gosh. She loves getting her blood drawn.
Yeah.
Like she's not, she doesn't mind getting her blood draws, you guys. So how grateful am I, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh.
And
then it was just like, oh yeah. Okay. Well, here it is. You're right. Yep.
Seven weeks later.
Right.
It was
seven whole
weeks later, the longest 7 weeks of my life. And she called me. And she's like, Joni, you were right. And when she said, Joni, you were right, I just cried. All those years, I mean, I just bawled right in her ear. This geneticist.
All those years of wondering and guessing.
And pissed at the same time.
Anger. That's it. And yes. Yeah. And could we have been doing something differently? Is, you know what I mean? From every aspect, medication, all of it, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways.
So I got that letter that she was positive and in the mail. I still have it. And okay, let's fish there. Let's fish in this fishing pond. Let's go down PCDH 19. So treatment, still anti-seizure medications. Mm-hmm. You know, the Alliance can't legally tell me, you know, what works because they can't, that'd be liability. So the moms and dads talk, this is what we're on, you know, so it's a worldwide alliance. I mean, people are on there from all over the world that have PCDH19. And so I found my little village, you know, and I love them. I love them dearly. They speak my PCDH19 language. You know, you guys speak my autism language, you know, I mean,
yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. It just blows my mind to think that if you would not have asked why so many times, and if you would not have sat up at night Googling, and if you would not have gotten on Facebook,
yes,
how many more years would it have been before a medical professional said, yes, hey, maybe we should run this panel. We're drawing blood anyway. Why don't we run this test?
I got the excuse. And I got the answer.
What? I'm really interested in hearing
this. So, for a lot of years, we had the same neurologist. Okay, different than an epileptologist. Okay, we had the same neurologist, and we went to Mayo. We got a second opinion. You know, should she be on these drugs? Yeah, and My two neuros talk to each other. So when I called him, that Minnesota doctor, because we're in Colorado and we got this diagnosis. When I called that Minnesota doctor and talked to his nurse that has known me for a lot of years, I'm like, I am mad. Why didn't he pull this gene panel for us? And his response back was very generic.
I feel like I'm going to get real mad.
I know. I'm already
back in 2000, you know, 2004, 5, 6, genetics was in its infancy. Those were her words.
Generic. You got a generic answer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
genetics were in its infancy in 2004.
And 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. Like I was just like, well, when did it become, you know, and then I was Googling again, you know, cause I'm not going to go back and forth with this old doctor and their nurses, but so I am grateful now, you know, how far we've come. I'm grateful mm-hmm. for the therapies. Yes. I'm grateful for ABA therapy. I'm grateful for genetics coming. I mean, there's still a long ways to come with fixing PCDH19 yeah. epilepsy and Dravet.
Right, right.
Which is another mm-hmm. big one.
Can we talk about mm-hmm. something? Mm-hmm. I want to talk about something. It's not off track, but it's a little mm-hmm. off track. Because I know that there are going to be the people that are like, why do we keep saying that her brain is broken? Mm-hmm. And there are going to be mm. people, because the other spot in your book that I folded, I wouldn't mm-hmm. change a thing. Mm-hmm. This little mini spot here, I earmarked because I found it incredibly just. I felt this. Okay. And you talk about, you know, I love little Timmy just as he is. I wouldn't change a thing. And I appreciate your honesty in this, because I think people get very confused when we say something like for I will voice in my own words, because I don't want to speak for anyone else. I love Gracie with my entire heart. She is everything to me. She is my soulmate. I say, you are my, and she says, best friend. Like, everything about her I love. If I could make her neurotypical so that she could live a life and be able to get things that all of the other neurotypical humans get without struggling, I would 100% give that to her if I could. But it doesn't mean that I don't love her exactly how she is. And so I really appreciated and resonated with your section in this book that was honest about that. And so when we say things like, you know, her brain is broken, there's always going to be those people that are like, her brain is exactly how it's meant to be. Well, first off, who are you to say she's not your kid? Like, first off, okay. I'm not going to get on that whole soapbox, but would you talk to us just a little bit about your feelings surrounding
yeah,
that?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's something wrong with her brain, and mm-hmm. the doctors can't fix it mm-hmm. currently, today, in 2024. And that's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. But I feel like at a loss, and I would take that away if I could. If I could get that brain surgery that could cure it, mm-hmm. we would, you know, we would do that. Mm-hmm. It's not an option for us today.
Yeah.
But I totally understand. I totally get that the autism. Oh my gosh, you guys, her autism. It's funny. It's funny. She has no filter. She will say that guy is smoking over there and it smells and that's a bad choice. I'm like, okay, just kind of say that.
You're
quieter.
Not wrong, Allie.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's Jack.
Yeah. So that's the autism. That's hilarious. And mm-hmm. but yeah. No, I mean, if it causes yeah. her harm, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's causing my child harm and distress and hurting. And I'm going to have haters. I'm going to have DM. What was that? Haters in my DM.
Yeah.
Haters in my DMs.
Come at me, bro.
Yeah, bro. Mm-hmm.
Here, come at
you
us.
Know,
we
it's
got you.
Like, I'm,
we got you back.
I turned 50 years old and I'm just like, hey, whatever, this is yeah. my life. And mm-hmm. I, you know, mm-hmm. you're, that's on you. Mm-hmm. If that's your opinion, that's your opinion.
Well, and nobody's walked your path. Not even people with other children with PCDH19 and other comorbidities. So nobody can say anything. Nobody knows the extent, the pain, the mm-hmm. joy, the everything that you guys have walked through as a family. So nobody can speak on that. Nobody can. You don't get to have an opinion about. Somebody else's life.
Not only that, but I think we're in this really weird place in our society where it has to be one or the other. People don't understand that two things can coexist at the exact same time. Like,
yes.
I can love my child more than anything in the world, but wish that I could take away this diagnosis so that I could make her life easier. Right? People don't understand that, or they just, we're just at a very weird place right now. So,
I feel like there's a level too of, it's different as the parent. It's different as the parent walking through this journey than it is for the actually, you know, autistic person or the person with a disability, you know, and what that's coming from, from their point of view. So I wish that they could be more gentle in that, in saying there is the mom's perspective, there is the dad's perspective, there is the sibling's perspective, you know, because again, it doesn't mean that we love them any less or anything, but yes, we are able to share our voices, our emotions, our feelings, everything.
Even ABA therapy, like even the therapy, it's not right for your child, but it's right for my child.
Right.
Yes.
I think, do either of you guys follow Russell Lehman on Instagram? Russell, this is him.
Yes.
That's one thing that I love to follow and hear what he has to say because he's autistic. And he also is very much about, you know, everybody wants to post about all these amazing things about being autistic. But why don't we talk about the really crappy parts of being autistic? And why don't we talk about how, you know, like I can come into this room now because I've had years of therapy and I can give you a TED talk. But like what happens after that TED talk, because it pushed me so out of my comfort zone. And I just think he's a really good example too of like being two things simultaneously, you know, and feeling okay discussing it. And so that's another reason why I wanted to bring that up, because you do touch on that in the book. And I think that we have a lot of parents that are like newly into this diagnosis part of their life where they would feel a lot of guilt saying that out loud. And just, you know, by putting it in the book, you're giving them a place, you're giving them the space, you're giving them permission to say, it's okay that I feel this way. Like, there's nothing wrong with me feeling the way that I feel. It doesn't mean that I love Allie any less, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, my heart. Yeah. I feel like there's so many things we could talk about. I feel like you have a lot of stuff in the book about your marriage and the struggles that all of this put on the on your marriage, which I think is so relatable in so many ways. You guys, so the book is called Don't Sing Happy Birthday. I was telling my husband how much I loved your book. Like, the cover of your book is amazing. The colors are amazing. It's like intriguing.
Well, just even through when you went through, like in part two, when you talk about the different, you know, the different things, how you put the cute little,
the candle.
Yeah. Candles and the little
the candle with the sparkler at the end.
The sparkler. Yeah. Tell us, will you tell them a little bit about that?
For sure. So the book cover is an upside down cupcake with a sparkler that's lit. The upside down is when we were like, okay, we have this perfect baby. Okay. In quotes, perfect baby, perfect life. And then all of a sudden, our world turned upside down. I mean, it just turned upside down. And the sparkler, it's not a candle with a pretty flame. It's a sparkler. And that sparkler represents her seizures.
It's such a good cover. It's
And there's so many stories, you guys, that I didn't put in there. I didn't, like you said, I didn't want it to be long. I didn't, I wanted it to be quick read. And there's so many stories. I mean, I have so many autism stories. Like, this girl runs, she used to run into things because she was so distracted over here that she would run into trees. She would run into parked cars with her bike. We were a ski family. I'm past tense. I used to be a skier. Allie and Eric can go down black diamonds. They are really good downhill skiers. Okay.
Wow.
This is what I didn't put in the book because it was, I don't know. I just probably couldn't talk about it. I don't know why I didn't. She, this was in Minnesota when she was, really young. It was, she was age seven, 2011, age seven, March 13th. Oh my gosh. March 13th, 2011. She was we were downhill skiing. I was in back of her, just trailing her. Dad is on ski patrol, so he had like a radio and he was skiing the hill. Mm-hmm. She was looking to her right and she was looking at the snow tubers on the right. So the snow tuber hill was next to the downhill skiing hill. And she was just looking and looking and looking. And that's that autism brain. You're very focused on, mm-hmm. oh, there's something over here. And I could see it in slow motion. I was screaming at her. I'm like, hey, tree. And there was this giant oak tree right in the path. And she was just so focused on those tubers. She had her ski helmet on. It got dented. She broke her face in four spots. So she broke her occipital bone. What's that word? Yeah.
Occipital bone. She broke,
an orbital fracture. She had an orbital fracture.
Orbital, yeah.
She split her lip. And we still have the helmet today. I should have put this in the book, but I didn't. There's a dent in her helmet from that tree. That helmet saved her life, FYI.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm.
So you're done with skiing.
So I am done with skiing, you guys. Baby, Duke.
Still do.
And now we're in Colorado. And it's easier. It's longer runs. She loves it. She loves skiing. She, you know, it's, yeah.
And Joni, there's something to be said for that too, for our community, right? Like, don't say never. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, like you at 7 years old, she'd been having seizures, you know, like this wasn't, I mean, you were like, let's go skiing.
Yeah.
You know, like most people would be like, oh my gosh, never. But like you guys continued, even though you're in the struggle and things are hard,
open-minded.
You continue to do, yes, things that brought you joy. And like, why can't she do this? Let's try this. And look at her now. She's black diamonds. Yeah. I mean, I've never been down black diamond. I'm not a good skier or snowboarder, but you know, like, that's so awesome.
She is awesome. And she can do it. She does do it. If there's not seizures, she's doing it. She's living her best life. And I know that's a cliche, but it's like, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are going to sign you up for everything. Yes. We're going to sign you up for those social outings. Now that she's 20, she's in a social group and she is in more adult services and transition services.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's a whole different topic. I mean, that's, We're lucky to be in such a great state that supports us like that financially. Mm-hmm. I can stay home with her and I'm a family caregiver for her through a Medicaid waiver that Colorado supplies us.
Yeah.
So we're really happy to be where we are and all of the services and the social programs and the day programs.
Mm-hmm. And you touch on that in part two. I just wanted to say really quickly for people that, you know, like seek these things out. Yeah. They are things that you didn't know about until you chatted with somebody and then you were like, wait, what? Wait, all of this can be.
Yeah. And you find it out from other parents. You know, it's like you have to talk to other parents. Like people hate social media. So do I. I mean, I do too, but man, I learn a lot from social media. I learn what great resources there are for Allie and
and just connecting with certain people that connect you with other people and it's just a snowball and it's so good. Tell us how just really quickly the book. So it's a part one,
two
part
books
two.
In one. Two books in one.
Two books in one.
Yeah.
Two for the price.
Well, let's
one.
Also say, if we're going to say it's two books in one, let us also say it's 134 pages, you guys. So.
Yes. I'm going to, in case we ever do YouTube, I'm going to just hold this up here.
I do want to make sure that we throw that out there because if our listeners are anything like me, they got the diagnosis, they bought 56 books, they read a quarter of three of them, and they have a massive pile of books about autism sitting somewhere in their home, AKA on this bookshelf next to me, ask how many I've read. This book, you guys, it's 134 pages. I sat outside while Gracie swam and I read it. It's easily digestible. And when I finished it, I was not overwhelmed. So kudos.
Yes. First part, Joni being your story, your guys' journey thus far. And second part being just
tactical
kind of a little Bible, a little Holy Grail of you know, outline of
tips and tricks, like tips, parenting and strategies and tips is the second part. So yeah, so there just real like. Kind of like, hey,
but simple.
In a nutshell, this is mm-hmm. kind of what to expect. Can we talk about caregivers for a second? Like your helpers, your right. we call them alley sitters here. Your alley sitters, it's a revolving door. They quit, they go to school, they transition, they say goodbye, they don't say goodbye, they ghost you. I mean, the help was, I mean, I'm constantly asking people, hey, do you want to take Allie to the mall today?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
but that's the real in that second part too is like it's basic in how you lay it out, but you're like, look, this is how it is. You know, your feelings are gonna get hurt. You need to know that now, kind of buckle up and just prepare yourself and we will move on to the next thing.
Resource. You know? I mean, you have to ask other parents, you know, what are you guys using? What are you doing? Who do you like? Who do you don't like? What doctor do you like? What doctor don't you like? What therapy don't you know? So you're always talking to someone. Mm-hmm. The introvert in me, right? Mm-hmm. That was hard, right? Because I'm comfortable being my introvert and I'd love to read books all day, but not for Allie. It's not about me. It's about Allie. So
well, and I love too how like you say all of these things in just a very simple, to the point, straight shot, where like someone will take one point you've made in a paragraph and they will write a whole chapter
have it be
about
that whole-
it.
Need to be the whole
thing. And we don't absolutely have want that. Time for that. No. We just don't. We don't have time for that. So
no. That's what I think. This is kind of that quick, like, and then you keep it and it's in your back pocket and you ear tag like Shannon does and you just got your notes. It's good.
Thank you.
It's so good.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we are gonna link this, you guys. So it'll be in the show notes. So you can scroll down. We'll put Joni's contact, whatever she's willing to give us, we will put in the show notes. We're gonna link it to the book. And then obviously I'll include links in the email that goes out to all of you guys the Monday that we launch. So it'll all be in there as well. Mm-hmm. Joni, I would love to wrap up with, like, we've talked about a lot of the hard, we've talked about some of the funny, we've talked about some of the good, like just kind of close us out with like some of the best things going on for Allie right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is advocating for herself. So if she doesn't like something, she will tell us, of course, and then we'll investigate. So I really like that about her. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for a lot of things. She's verbal.
Yeah.
She can tell me things. We actually, I was shocked at this. When she was 16, you guys, we got her an iPhone. And I am so happy that it's worked out so well. She loves her iPhone. She FaceTimes grandma and grandpa and Nana. Like, oh my gosh. So I think for us, that's our story. That's what worked for us. And she is advocating to her Allie sitter. If her Allie sitter chooses to give her contact information, Allie will text her and say, can we go to the mall today? Can we go to Mod Pizza today? Can we go to the arcade today? Like, how awesome is that? Like, when she was 7 and eloping, before I discovered ABA therapy, I didn't know what the future was going to be. And now it's just like, oh my gosh, you can text people, you can text me GIFs. And it's like, that's awesome, Allie.
Well, and it gives her that autonomy, right, too. You know, she's like, this is my thing and I can do this.
So
like, I'm an
really
adult,
happy for her that she took that and she owns that. Mm-hmm. And we put an AirTag on it. Do you know what an AirTag is?
Oh, buddy, yeah.
So when she goes with our alley sitters, she left it in the back seat once and we saw the alley sitter drive around with this, the AirTag, and we're like, oh, she's at home right now. Okay, well, we're just going to text her. We're going to come pick it up. Oh,
gosh. Meanwhile, the alley sitter gets a notification saying someone is tracking you with an Apple AirTag.
Isn't that, okay, so that's the scary part. Yeah, that is the scary part.
But Allie's safe and her phone safe. So that's, you know,
I know I have one of those too. I have one of those that's a watch for Gracie. So like if she goes on field trips or whatever, like the AirTag goes on the watch and we can
track her. Oh, great.
It's gotta have them. So I love this because you are, you know, Allie is 20. You've been in this game for a long time. So you have the blessing of like hindsight, and you can say that you may be only 2 years into this and it feels like everything is really hard and you don't know what it's going to look like. But now Allie's 20 and Allie wants to go to the mall and Allie wants to ski black diamonds and Allie's going to let you know about it.
Come on.
I love that. I'm sure all of your family.
And so we'll be waiting in another, 10, 20 years for the next installment of adulthood.
I have a lot to learn. And so I'm listening to all those pioneers that have been on your podcast that are, you know, a little older. And I'm like, yes, tell me more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm definitely still, I mean, I'm touring like different agencies. I'm touring different day programs. I'm looking what is good and what's not a good fit. You know?
And that's like the beautiful thing about a community, right? Whether it's the autism community, the PCDH19, it's coming together and the people that have gone before you and
absolutely
and learning, you know.
It.
So thank you for that. You're a pioneer as well. Trailblazer.
You're a pioneer and a trailblazer for us.
It's a marathon. I mean, I'm not gonna quit. I don't have a choice. I guess.
Yeah, we just got to keep on swimming, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, Joni, do you want to share any contact information? Like, do you want your Instagram public? What are you comfortable with?
Sure. Yeah, it's really cool that the hashtag don't sing happy birthday works really great. Mm-hmm. That I'm on Instagram and I'm on Facebook. And then you can use that little at sign. So at don't sing happy birthday. Mm-hmm. Those are really easy to find me.
Perfect.
And you just put it in the Google.
Okay. Put it in the Google.
And you have groups in Colorado, in your area, in your direct area.
I love my little support group here. Oh my gosh, you guys, such a strong community here. I was shocked. I mean, I was blown away. So I'm just very happy and fortunate that we are here. We are living, work and live and play and we have each other.
So if somebody lives in that area or around that area, then go stalk. Joni B. Go stalk
and don't
Joni
sing
Brown,
happy birthday.
And don't sing happy birthday and join the gang.
Oh my goodness. All right, Joni. Well, thank you so much for coming on with us today. You guys come and find us at Moms Talk Autism on Instagram. You can email us at hello@momstalkautism.com. And if you would leave us a review, I think lots of people need to hear about Allie and Allie's story and that there is hope even in the midst of chaos. And we would love to catch you on Instagram and have some conversations. So we will see you next week. Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.